Every year, when it comes to the Seder, I always turn to my daughter and I say to her, you know, I'm so hungry. Let's go straight to Shulchan Aruch. She turns to me and says, I'm sorry, Tati, but that's why it's called a Seder. Everything has to be done according to tradition, according to our faith. But what happens in the event that we're confronted with organizations or with individuals that wish to change our faith, that take our traditions and change them? What is the Torah perspective? Should we or should we not take a stand? If we study the way that the Torah views children and how we should react with these different conflicts, we can maybe then better understand how to deal with such organizations. We look at the two holidays of Sukkot and Pesach. They're very similar in nature, that many of the laws are learned one from the other. Sukkot and Pesach also happen to be exactly 6 months apart, each occurring on the 15th day of the Hebrew month. But yet when we look at Sukkot, we find something quite different than the liturgy in our Haggadah. We know that when it comes to the Dalet Minim, the Lulav, Hadas, the Esrog, and the Arava, each of them can be compared to a Jew. If we look at the Lulav and the Hadas, each of them have one special quality. Either it has a nice fragrance, a nice smell, or something which a person can eat, something which is edible. This represents the Jew that either has Torah knowledge or Ma'asim Tovim, person who is righteous in their ways of their actions. And then we have the Esrog. The Esrog, which both has a wonderful fragrance and also is something which is edible, one can eat. This corresponds to the Jew that has both aspects, Torah knowledge as well as Ma'asim Tovim. On the opposite end, we have the Arava, or the willow. The willow has absolutely no qualities, has no fragrance, and also is inedible. This represents the Jew that has no Torah knowledge and no Ma'asim Tovim. Nonetheless, we do not push this Arava, this willow Jew, so to speak, aside, but rather we combine them and combine all four together. In fact, if one would push aside this Arava and only shake the three species of the Lulav, the Hadas, and the Esrog, one has not fulfilled the mitzvah. As though to say, without the Jew, who is lacking in their Torah faith, we're not able to push that person aside. For if we do, we also are incomplete. The message of Sukkot is to embrace the Rasha. But yet, when it comes to Pesach, and we find the story of the Arba Banim, the four children, we read about the Rasha. The Rasha who asks the question, Ma havoda hazos lachem, what is the purpose of this service, this ceremony, this act of faith, this ritual? We say an incredible statement. We say that you will not be redeemed. And what's more, V'af hakeet shinav, we will literally hit them in the mouth to blunt their teeth. What is the story of how we're supposed to deal with a contrary individual? Are we supposed to push them aside and to hit them and to completely turn them off, similar to the Rasha on Pesach? Or are we to embrace them together with other Jews, as we find on Sukkot? This question was addressed by Rabbi Yosef Salvechik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, And he answers this by saying that there are in fact two covenants. The covenant of fate and the covenant of faith. First, focusing on the covenant of fate. We, as Jews, share the same fate. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew. When I was in college, in fact, I remember a boy that used to wear a very large velvet kippah, as many yeshiva students do. And as he was about to go to college, I saw him take off his kippah, and he put on this very, very small yarmulke, kippah sruga. And I asked him, I said, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "Because I'm going to college among non-Jews, and I want to be able to fit in." I told him, I said, "I hate to tell you, although we may distinguish one Jew from the next based on the kippah that they wear, a person who's not Jewish could care less what kippah you're wearing. To them, you're a Jew. It makes absolutely no difference." This is the idea of fate. Regardless of who you are, your religious affiliation, when it came to the days of the Holocaust, of the Shoah, when it came to the Crusades, when the Jews were in the Warsaw Ghetto, it made no difference what kind of kippah you wore. We were all together in the same boat. On the other hand, there was also the covenant of faith. This explains the Rav, or the standards, or our Masorah. The Torah must never be changed. Rather, it must constantly remain as it was for it to be authentic. We know this is true when it comes to a Sefer Torah. If even a single letter is missing, or if we would decide to add an extra word, that Torah is pasul. It's invalid. It's because it's no longer the Torah that Hashem gave to us. It's our own ideas. It's our own thoughts. So important, then, are the mitzvot of not adding and not subtracting from the Taryag 613 mitzvot. This is also the meaning of the Mishnah in Perkei Avos that states that we should be similar to the students of Aharon. Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, loving peace and pursuing it. Oev Esabrios, loving people, caring about every single person, but not to forget Umikarvan LaTorah. Let them come close to the Torah. It's a very interesting language the Mishnah and Ethics of Our Fathers chooses. Umikarvan LaTorah means that we should not change the Torah to fit into someone else's lifestyle, but rather, when they're ready, let them come close to it. The Torah doesn't change. The Torah does not move. We have to come close to it. And therefore, as a matter of faith, if a person wishes not to observe a Torah law, that's something which is their choice. And, of course, those consequences will be dealt with later on in Olam Haba. But nonetheless, we are not perfect. We make mistakes, including myself. But that does not give me the right to be able to stand up and say, it's too difficult, or I don't want to observe this particular commandment in the Torah anymore. So let's remove it. Let's change it. Let's tweak it a little bit. By doing that, you're changing the faith. And by changing your faith, you're now making the Torah something which is no longer authentic. If we look at the two holidays, the holidays of Sukkot and the holidays of Pesach, we understand that one is a matter of fate, and the other, explains Rav Soloveitchik, is a matter of faith. Sukkot is a holiday of fate. We know this as the Pasuk tells us, Kol Ezrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Masukkot. And what does this mean? Says the Gemara, Molamid Shekol Yisrael Ru'uyim Leishim Sukkah Achas. It's fit for every single Jew to be underneath one sukkah. Which means, it doesn't matter which clique, or which organization you belong to. We can all be underneath the same roof. It's because the sukkah represents how we're all covered underneath the same roof, that we are sharing the exact same fate as Jews. We are all the same. This is represented by the Dal Minyan. For even the Arava, even the Torahless and the Gemilas Chasadimless willow type of Jew is still part of our fate. Pesach, on the other hand, is a matter of faith. When the Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us, "V'yafu es abatzek asher hotziu mimitzrayim ugos matzos kilochametz ki garshu mimitzrayim v'lo yachlis mameya v'gam seda lo asu lahem." They baked the dough that they took out of Egypt into unleavened cakes, for they could not be leavened, for they were driven from Egypt, for they could not delay, nor had they made provisions for themselves. And says Rashi, what does it mean that they did not bring provisions into the wilderness? Magid Shivchan Shi Yisrael. This shows the great praise of the Jewish people. Shul Amru, that they did not say, Heich Netzei Lamidbar. How can we go out into this vast wilderness, Blotzeda, without any provisions, without any adequate food, to be able to survive for a long period of time? Ela Heminu. When they left Egypt and they carried those matzahs, it was a matter of faith. So we see that the holiday of Pesach is exactly that. It's a matter of faith. And therefore, when we study of the Arba Banim and we come across the Rasha, the contrary, wicked child, we say that you would not have left Mitzrayim because you lack this faith, this trust, this blind obedience to our traditions. You look at our traditions and say, it doesn't fit into my lifestyle. Let's not follow them. Let's not observe these laws anymore. Let's tweak them. Let's change them. And we say that it's mekarvan l'Torah. We cannot allow the Torah to change. And when you're ready, you'll be able to come close to us. And it's possible that we're not actually hitting this child. We don't believe in corporal punishment. But the message is that we try to silence the child. We tell them that you do not have the right to change these laws. And God willing, by that child being silenced and being able to see the richness of our Jewish heritage, maybe that day will come that that child will eventually become a chacham, become a tzaddik. It's necessary, as was pointed out as being a member of the RCA, the Rabbinical Council of America, that it's necessary as an Orthodox rabbi to acknowledge what is happening among the Jewish other organizations in this world. And I'm specifically referring to, as I very often am very cautious and sensitive not to talk about other Jews, but nonetheless, it's necessary to talk about the decision recently made by the conservative movement. I'd like to share with you a response to the Rabbinical Assembly's decision regarding ordination of gays and lesbians and commitment ceremonies. This letter was written on December 7th, 2006 by the RCA. It says, quote, "The Rabbinical Council of America has with great sadness taken note of this week's decision of the Rabbinical Assembly to allow for the ordination of gays and lesbians, as well as permission to officiate at so-called same-sex commitment ceremonies. This decision represents yet another significant step in the further estrangement of the conservative movement from Jewish law and tradition. Regrettably, these decisions will in the end serve to further deepen the schisms within the Jewish people." Unquote. Now, this is not to say, God forbid, that I'm calling anyone a Rasha. But as a matter of faith, laws must not change. But when we focus on the words of being as the students of Aharon, it tells us that it's necessary for us to be oev asabrios, The starting point is to bring people close. And just because a person doesn't keep Shabbat or doesn't keep Kashrut to the highest level and standards does not mean we should ever push that Jew away. And I also believe this is also when it comes to those who are homosexual. This is a flaw. This is similar to any other mitzvah in the Torah that some people break. They also have their flaws. They have their weaknesses. But we also at the same time must tell them, Umikarvan l'Torah. We have to bring you closer to the Torah. We cannot change its laws. Although we must be sensitive and feel their pain as Jews, but tradition to our faith cannot change due to our emotions. This is the message of Pesach, the holiday of faith. Good Yom Tov.